Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to talk politics. It's Hardline on WBEN. Now, WBEN's David Bellavia.
Well, it is Sunday, and that means another edition of Hardline. I hope you're having a safe and meaningful Memorial Day weekend. This weekend means so much to so many people for different reasons. Some are out there enjoying, the first official start to summer. And I hope the vast majority are also acknowledging why we're here and all the many liberties that we have and the men and women who sacrificed so that that still maintains. So have a safe and glorious Memorial Day weekend. Here's the thing. We've been promising this, we talk Erie County all day, right? We talk about the congressional races, the Senate races, governor. We are going to talk about races that are as important to every day of our lives, our sheriff's departments, our city judges. We're going to focus on two small races. I shouldn't say small races. I should say small areas, Orleans County and Genesee County. And I want to give just a broader picture. On Hardline, we talk all these national politics and state and, New York 27 and who's running for U.S. Senate. But we don't focus on when it comes to a county in the GLOW counties, especially Orleans, Genesee, Livingston. That sheriff is the most recognized. And really, you can make the argument between the district attorney and the sheriff's office. That's really your governor and your mayor. They're law enforcement, of course. They're elected officials. But they are really the two most notable names in all the politics in a small county. We talked to one candidate in the June 25th primary. It's a Republican primary for Orleans County Sheriff. We have the other candidate. He's the current undersheriff of Orleans County, and his name, of course, is Chris Bork. Thank you, sir, for being here.
Thank you, David, for having me.
Okay, so we had your opponent on here, and we obviously wanted it to be fair, so we're giving you equal time as well. We're going to ask the exact same questions that we asked of your opponent, Brett. But the first thing we want to know is, when you look at Orleans County and the fact, the population base, what a sheriff does, the role and responsibility that a sheriff has, how much of what we see in Erie County trickles down into Orleans County, especially when it comes to drugs and all the other problems we hear on our news every day?
Sure. Well, Orleans County, population of about 41,000 people, and Orleans County people go to the cities and big counties to get their drugs. And we have a smaller version of the same problems, enforcing laws, patrolling the streets, investigating accidents, investigating crime, helping people with treatment. But ours is on a smaller scale, of course.
Now, one of the things that you've been around for 35 years in law enforcement.
Yes.
That's an incredible career of selflessness and serving your community. What have you seen in 35 years? If you were going to point out your biggest achievement, the thing you're most proud of in 35 years, what would that be?
I think my service to the people. I care about the people of Orleans County. I still care about the people of Orleans County. It's never been about the money because, as you know, you can leave Orleans County and go to another county and double your money. But my dedication was always to Orleans County. I started out in the jail 1984 for $5.30 an hour as a part-time CO.
Wow.
And went from there. I became a full-time correction officer, then a corporal in the jail. And then on January 1st of 86, was appointed deputy sheriff.
Talking to Chris Bork, who's Under Sheriff of Orleans County, currently running for Sheriff of Orleans County. You know, it's an interesting trajectory of your career because you've seen, you know, almost every facet of the system. You've got the guys that have already been convicted that are in prison. That's how you start in the jails. And now you're on the law enforcement side where you're basically, you know, we've heard a lot of the back and forth between, and this race has been pretty heated. Would you say that? I mean, it's not.
There's been some back and forth, right. But we like to keep it above board and be respectful of each other. And I think that has occurred between the two candidates.
And no matter what happens in this primary, because you're both Republicans, you're going to support the winner.
We always would support the winner of the primary in June 25th, but I am still on other lines in the Independence Party in the conservative line as well.
So you're on all the way to primary or all the way to general election no matter what.
Yes, that's right.
You know what's interesting is that when you look at other counties and, you know, Erie in particular, you got bomb throwers and people throw themselves, you know, into the race, and it's just like Chris Jacobs announced for New York 27 and immediately entered a barrage of personal attacks like 45 minutes in. One of the things I'm seeing from both you and your opponent a little bit more, it seems like there's a mutual respect there.
Sure. Listen, a career in the Rochester Police Department is a difficult job. That city is a lot of crime, a lot of drug issues. If you've been pounding the streets down there for 30 years, you've had your hands full. I don't take anything away from my opponent in his career in Rochester. My point is, I'm an Orleans County guy. I've worked in Orleans County. I feel I know the county very well and the sheriff's office very well. I've worked in corrections. When I started on the road as a deputy sheriff, most of the dispatching, which was pre-911, was done by deputy sheriffs.
Wow.
So, and it used to be a little bit of punishment. If you were bad, you were put in. No, just kidding.
Right.
But
you answered the call and
so
then reported it.
As we were phasing into 911, deputy sheriffs were being phased out and civilian dispatchers were put in. So I've had that perspective as well from working in a call center taking emergency calls. So, and then a deputy sheriff. I was a lieutenant on the road for 18 years, canine handler for almost 20 years, hostage crisis negotiator. I've held several roles. I've supervised the Marine Division of the Sheriff's Office, which involves four boats, two vehicles, a Marine office, and one full-time and 10 seasonal deputy sheriffs. So there's a lot of moving parts of a sheriff's office.
Now, tell me, would you state that there is a drug problem? I guess my argument is that there's an opioid epidemic that's across the country. Orleans County is no different. It's a microcosm of the rest of Western New York. What do you do to combat fentanyl in particular, but the opioids? There are drugs that are now in Orleans County that 25 years ago you probably didn't even know existed. So how do you combat the drug crisis that's affecting Western New York and in particular Orleans County as sheriff?
Well, absolutely. You have to be aggressive on the road. You have to be aggressive on the enforcement and arrest, but you can't arrest your way out of the problem. So you get addicts. The heroin addict is killing people. And if it's one person, it's one too many. So far in 19, we've had 37 overdoses in Orleans County and 3 fatals. But our people are trained now in Narcan, like many police officers and others. Just a couple of weeks ago, one of our deputies Narcan'd a gentleman who was out cold. He and his mom were in the house. We got the call. He was basically just out cold. 2 Narcans, brought him back. He lived. But then we have to, how do we treat him? Well, in our jail, we've initiated several programs. The medicated assist treatment program, which allows us to give Suboxone and other medications while you're in jail. We can get our hands on them in the jail and kind of push them towards a program. We can hopefully get them on the right track, but it's a really, really tough road.
Do you think that Narcan has actually complicated the fight on opioids because it almost gives you a Hail Mary? There's a redemption if you go too far and too heavy too fast?
Yeah, we've even heard about Narcan parties where somebody at the party has Narcan, so you go that extra step. You go for that, quote, hotter mix. When the regular heroin isn't doing it for you anymore, you want fentanyl in there. Spice it up, make it hotter. and then carfentanil. These drugs, you're putting your life in somebody else's hands. They've mixed up this concoction for you, and you're putting it inside your body. It's just unbelievable. But you have to want to get some help, and I think many of these folks do. So when we get our hands on them in the jail, we recently engaged in a joint grant with Genesee County for $1.2 million for Access Matters. It's to put a substance abuse clinician counselor in the jail 2.5 hours a week and then a peer counselor for 2.5 hours a week. And then we want to keep the clergy involved if we can get people on the right track and provide them help. We can't save the world, but we're going to do our part.
Well, you know, luckily that's just good enough because, I mean, it's about Orleans County. I think one of the biggest problems some folks have is that they try to, you know, deal with 35,000-foot approaches for area populations of 41,000. You know, it's not necessary that we work out a deal with Canada. You know, do we really need to focus on NAFTA and trade and how the fentanyl gets here? Those people want it out of the streets. We're not just talking about heroin. They are lacing fentanyl with everything you could imagine, and it's killing kids. And these aren't bad kids. These are kids that are trying something like everyone else tried when they were 18 and 19 years old, and they're losing their life, you know, in a small rural county. Chris Bork, we're going to talk more with you. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. We're going to get more into the fire round. We're going to ask some more questions that some points that your opponent has brought up, and also a little bit more about who you are and how you got here as undersheriff of Orleans County, running for sheriff. It's a continuation on our sheriff series. We're going to be focusing on Orleans County sheriff and a city judge race out in Batavia. All this and more. It's Hardball. Hey, we're back, and evidently I tried a hostile takeover of Chris Matthews' MSNBC show when I went to break. I meant Hardline, not Hardball. You would think after, you know, the time we would get what the name of the program is. Did Hardwick ever do that?
Well, no. Hardwick, Hardline, he got it.
Oh, he did. Well, no, I didn't mess up the hard line or the hard. I got the ball line mess.
Right, but since it was a lot, it sounded like his last name, I think it was just more of a flow. Hardline with Hardwick.
That's Joe Beamer, by the way, who works here 7 days a week and sleeps underneath the soundboard. So we appreciate his.
Sometimes the Kiss hot tub.
Sometimes the Kiss hot tub. We've got Chris Bork in studio, undersheriff, running for sheriff of Orleans County. I'm fascinated by this race. Not only did I grow up in Orleans County and I consider it my home, and I'm very proud of Orleans County, but I love what goes into. You know, we always talk about the large counties, and this is what's really important because this is where all the people live. Well, to the 41,000 people of Orleans County, a lot of their problems are because of larger counties, the attraction of the lights. We get the crime, we get the drugs, but then you've got entrepreneurs that try to start that stuff in the rural places because they figure, well, the cops won't look for me here. And hopefully they're wrong. And they get busted as soon as they cross the Orleans County border. Now, Chris Bork, as undersheriff, there were some points that were brought up by your opponent when he was on this program. One of them is he states that the Orleans County roads are the unsafest in all of New York, that as the state troopers are arresting people at the same consistent level or actually more, the village, town, municipalities, they continue to stop guys, DWI arrests, drug arrests. Orleans County sheriff numbers are down. What's your response to that?
Well, our numbers are down in deputy sheriffs. That's not an excuse. That's just some of the reasons why the numbers might be one way or another. There was a study out of New York City, I think you're referring to, that was Batavia Daily News had it on in 17 that said Orleans County was one of the had unsafe roads because of the numbers per capita of accidents.
Now, when they said unsafe roads, are they saying that there's potholes and the bridges can't withstand weight, or are they saying that the people on the roads are unsafe?
I think they're plugging numbers into injuries and fatals into the number of accidents. Well, in 2018, we had 579 motor vehicle accidents. 240 of those accidents were car deer. So you have to take all of that.
And I was six of them, by the way. I just want to say for the record.
And the 10 counties in the top 10 of the unsafe, so-called unsafe roads were rural counties. So I think you have to take that into consideration. from the time that the Bauer administration got in 2016, at one point we were down 7 deputies out of a 24-man or person road patrol unit. We have been in the process of filling spots since we've been in there. We had the unfortunate arrest of 2 deputies. We've had several retirements. We've had transfers. So it's difficult in Orleans County when you can drive 20 minutes east and double your money. We have to try to incentivize our people to stay, and I think we're doing that. But
do you think that you're going to be able to make the sheriff, the deputy, you know, profession of going into Orleans County? Is that going to be something that's going to be able to compete with neighboring counties so that we can get the best of the best?
It's going to be tough. I'm certainly going to try. I think you have to appreciate all of the good things of Orleans County. It's a smaller county. If you live here, you'll love it. It's cheap houses to buy in Orleans County. It's a great county to live. But tier five and six of the retirement system has changed the ball game too, where your retirement is based on your only on your base pay, only 25% of your overtime. So in other words, you can't rack up the overtime at the end to get a big, so that I think people are going to be looking for a bigger base pay.
But at the same time, the dollar stretches farther in Orleans County.
It does, absolutely. So the same house in Orleans County for $75,000, you drive either direction, 20 minutes, and you're going to have to double your price for that same house.
Yeah.
So it's a great place to live. We can always do more. I'm in favor of arresting bad guys, arresting drug dealers. I don't like them. I don't like drunk drivers. You shouldn't be drunk on the road. I think we need to increase our enforcement on the road. That would be my policy. The sheriff had philosophies that sometimes I agreed with and sometimes I didn't agree with.
You know, that's so funny because as undersheriff, it looked at as vice president. Everything that the president says, you're supposed to be lock and step with. And although you've got a good partnership with the current sheriff, you are a different man. You've got a completely different background. And I'd like to get into what are the differences here, as far as enforcement goes. What's your policy?
Well, I came from an enforcement background. So my enforcement was on the road. The sheriff's was in communications. Listen, Sheriff Bauer has done many great things. He has put a lot of programs in place to help people, especially with this opioid disaster we have going on. He cares about people. He's done many great things. I would probably change a few things, but I believe in enforcement. I believe in arresting people that should be arrested. I believe in knocking this opioid thing down as much as we can. But I had a quote from in a meeting the other day from one of the officials from Jocasa that said, people will find their dope. You know, so it's a very tough thing to beat. But we're going to do our part. The sheriff's office needs to do our part. Bed-to-bed transfers, that's something that we can work with the district attorney's office and do bed-to-bed right out of our jail to a treatment center. So those are all things that we need to work
on. It's that working together in concert.
Absolutely.
And that synergy that's so needed. Chris Bork joins us. We're going to take a break. We're going to get into your opponent has challenged you to a debate on WBN. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some other things and get your point of view, your philosophy, a little bit more about what you are bringing to the table. The primary is June 25th. We have Chris Burke here, who is the current undersheriff running for sheriff, and we're going to have more with Chris right after this in Orleans County Sheriff's Race. It is
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hardline. All right, welcome back. We're talking Orleans County Sheriff's Race. We have Chris Bork, who is the undersheriff of Orleans County, currently running for sheriff. Your opponent came in here. Let me give you one of the major... He had 5... points that he brought up, and we're tackling all of these things. The first question was, he challenged you to a debate on this station, on this program, will you accept your opponent's challenge for a debate on WBEN?
I don't think we're going to do a debate. My interest is talking to the people in Orleans County, and I know the audience here is wide and huge, talking to a lot of Buffalo folks, some Orleans County folks. I am trying to get to everybody in Orleans County. We have a couple of events coming up to meet people and talk to them and allow them to ask me questions directly, and I don't think a debate would serve us. Most people know who I am, and they know I've been around a long time, and I know the Orleans County Sheriff's Office. So at this point, we don't have any plans to do a debate, and we're running out of time. With the state moving the primary up to June 25th, all of a sudden you're up against the clock here, and it's a different kind of a ball
game.
So
you're not just saying no debate on the radio station; you're saying no debate at all.
We're not going to debate. We have plenty of things coming up. Next Saturday is the June Fest in Holly. We'll have a booth there. We're going to be in the parade. Invite folks to come out there and meet and talk and ask questions and. We'll be there for that, and we have a couple of more of those coming up before June 25th.
You're not getting to Lindenville before?
We have been in Lindenville. Actually, on Mother's Day, we had a meet the candidate at the ice cream place.
We know we'll be on July 4th, but that, unfortunately, is after the primary.
Every year, all day.
Now, here's a thing that's been pretty controversial. The Major Felony Crime Task Force. Okay.
Yes.
Your opponent is claiming that there is not a working relationship and there's not a sharing of information with the Major Felony Crime Task Force in Orleans County. Is this spot on? Is he accurate or is that an exaggeration?
Well, the sheriff has had a difference of opinion with the district attorney and the operation of the Major Felony Crime Task Force. They work for the district attorney's office. They do not work for the sheriff. I have done my very best to work with them. We exchange information as much as we can. They're upstairs at another different part of the building. The current sheriff talked about bringing them together, putting our investigators up there with their investigators. That didn't work out. But I will tell you, as sheriff, I will work with all agencies. I am committed to working with all agencies, including the Major Felony Crime Task Force and the district attorney. We need to work together, not against each other. And that is my commitment to them and to the people of Orleans County. As long as that task force is in existence, we will work together. I will make it happen.
Do you think that is currently, is it functioning? Is the relationship, it's salvageable? You think you can work?
Oh, absolutely.
But should it be in the district attorney's office?
Well, that's a decision that was made a couple of administrations ago with the sheriff decided that due to some problems with this multi-jurisdictional task force they had at the time, the county, the DA, and the sheriff decided that the DA would run the task force. That decision was made based on facts at those times. I'm not here to argue about those facts.
Well, let's talk about something. Now, New York State's talking about legalizing marijuana. I don't know what... You know, everyone wants to point to Colorado. They want to point to all these states that are going towards legalization. To me, it becomes a law enforcement nightmare. You have folks that are well-trained and well-rehearsed in determining whether someone is intoxicated with alcohol. There's blood alcohol levels. There's the breathalyzer. These are all things that you've long figured out and can determine within a pretty professional degree of certainty whether or not someone is intoxicated behind the wheel. When you start talking about things that really can't be detected through a breathalyzer, you have to rely on, you know, training outside of the sheriff's office. You've already said that the deputy level is low. What do you do if legalization comes through as Orleans County Sheriff?
That's going to be difficult. I think when you look at the case study, which is Colorado, you see everything increase, fatal accidents, visits to emergency departments, disciplinary issues in school. The black market has gone through the roof as far as arrests for black market sales. People are avoiding the paying the tax and buying it out the back door.
Which is something that they said would not happen. They said that if we legalize it, then the black market goes away. The black market never goes away.
Well, the U.S. mail system has seen an 844% increase in marijuana seizures in Colorado. So, I mean, what does that tell you?
Is that going out or coming in?
It's going in. And
so even though it's legal in Colorado, people are still receiving.
Well, I think it's going out both ways because it's so free there. So nobody's looking over your shoulder when you're operating in that world. But it's going to be tough for the police officer on the street. I think there's some technology that's coming, maybe a saliva test, strips, and other such things that are coming. But the standardized field sobriety tests that most police officers are trained in, they're trained for alcohol. The DREs, the drug recognition experts, are right. very few and far between.
Why is that, though? Why can't we get more DREs in New Orleans County?
It's a very long training. It's very long. You usually sometimes have to go to another state because you actually practice on addicts. You actually practice on drug people to get your certification. So this training is very expensive. It's very long.
And most of it occurs in Wayne County, from what you're saying. No, I'm joking. Oh, stop that. No. So you're saying you have to have people under the influence so that
right.
you can determine.
And unfortunately, one of the places they use when they do it in this area is Darien Lake. Not to get into that.
But. During the further festival. Hey, so let me ask you a question. DWI traffic offenses, there was we talked about this earlier in the program. Those DWI arrests are declining from deputies, but we're still seeing state trooper, DWI arrests increasing, village town police increasing. One of the things that we talked about during the break, you were saying that, sheriff deputies, we don't have as many. They're not making the arrests that the state troopers are and that the village police are, but the response time, the dispatches, what is the difference between the state trooper dispatches to the sheriff deputy dispatches?
Well, per our 911 stats, the New York State Police, for an example, in 2018 handled about 2,300 calls for service, and the deputy sheriffs in Orleans County handled just shy of 10,000. So if you're tied up on a domestic dispute, an arrest, you're at the office. Sometimes you have to send cars on transports, mental hygiene transports and other types. You're not writing tickets. Yes, absolutely. We need to do more enforcement, write more tickets, interdict more cars on the street. You find out a lot of information when you have probable cause to stop somebody and you can poke around a little bit. It's a good thing. It's a good tactic. But there are reasons. They're not excuses.
Right. Let's talk about rather than talk about the current sheriff, let's talk about the future, what your plans are. What are some of the training that don't exist today that you would implement if you were sheriff in Orleans County? We're talking to Chris Bork, who's the under sheriff of Orleans County running for sheriff. What is the training that is needed that you would implement as a new sheriff?
Well, I'd like to get several more DREs if possible. We're going to need them. With this legalization thing right around the corner, we're going to probably have to eventually get a different canine dog. We have a dog that's trained now and has trained in marijuana as one of the several drugs that it will detect. We need to we just sent some guys to interview and interrogation. Training is big. I love training, and our training budget is very low. Considering the county budget and the restraints, we have to battle for every penny that we get. The legislature does the best they can for us, but everybody's there trying to reach into the bucket of money and get some, including the sheriff. Our training budget, I'd like to see it increased in both in the jail, the dispatch, and the road patrol, but we're tight. We're tight with training budget. What we'll do the best we can, we do as much in-house stuff as we can, but we have, several divisions that we have to dip into that training budget for money, and it goes away fast.
We are talking with Chris Bork. He is the undersheriff of Orleans County. He is running for sheriff. We had his opponent in here a couple weeks ago, and we're covering Orleans County sheriff races. We're going to talk about some city judge races coming up to give you a better idea of what's out there in Western New York in the body politic. It's not just Congress and state Senate and assembly races. We have rural county sheriff races that are dealing with the same problems of Erie and Monroe and everything else. Hopefully it gives you a little bit of an education as to what this opioid crisis is. Not just Amherst and Cheektowaga, Southtown, Northtown. This is all over the country. It's in Western New York, in Orleans and Genesee. We're going to take a break. We'll have more with the undersheriff of Orleans County after this. It's Hardline. Welcome back. We've got Chris Bork in studio. He's the undersheriff of Orleans County. He's running for sheriff. We had his opponent in here. The primary is June 25th. Here's the deal. A couple years ago, there was a sheriff. I live for stories where you've got, you know, it's one thing to be like a sheriff rescues a cat, you know, from a tree. A sheriff does something, you know, at a car accident scene. You had an Orleans County sheriff who was shot twice, I believe, in the front plate.
Right.
Returned fire and took out the bad guy.
Absolutely.
The visibility was horrible. He was essentially ambushed when he walked into the open area. Not only was he hit repeatedly, but he returned fire. No good people were injured. No property was damaged, and he took down the bad guy.
Of course, it was a tragic event, but he did.
But this
he did,
is
his training kicked in, and he.
This is one of the. But this kid, this guy, this man, is one of the most incredible stories of valor that we've seen in all of Western New York. It happened in our own Orleans County.
Absolutely.
One of the things that your opponent brings up is the recognition of outstanding service for Orleans County deputies. And there doesn't seem to be any sort of institutional program where you could take behavior like that. And I'm going to bring up you for a second, because in the late 90s, you had a situation.
I did.
Where a guy, basically with a shotgun, a domestic situation outside of, was it Albion Kendall area?
It started in Albion, ended up in Kendall, in the town of Kendall.
And he took multiple shots at a shotgun to you.
And the state police.
And yep. You engaged this guy.
Yep, a and trooper and myself you, engaged him, and we were taking fire. And he had us pinned down, and we...
And what did you get for that?
I got a certificate from the legislature at the time, but I'm a believer
in... No, but hold on, though. Hold on for a second. You were shooting an assailant with a shotgun through your windshield.
Right. At that time, you're fighting for your life.
Okay, but that's all. God bless you. That's a heroic action. If you had a deputy that was in the position that you were in the late 90s, don't you think that that deputy should be able to? I mean, that is unbelievable valor. You're
it
being
absolutely
shot
is.
At, and you got nothing. You got a slap on the back and a gift certificate to Dunkin' Donuts.
Right. Well.
But I mean, what you're now running for sheriff. How do you change things going forward so that when sheriffs are doing things that are outstanding, like you did in the 90s, like that guy, what's
Deputy Jim DePhillips.
Jim DePhillips should have a statue of him.
Right.
And I will
Absolutely.
Build it myself. That guy is an absolute stud. Jim DePhillips is, to me, that's the hallmark right there.
He did.
You, in the late 90s. You were a stud to be able to do that. That is
and
not a joke.
Let's not forget the state police that were there with me and an Albion police officer as well.
They get paid enough. Let's not. No, but of course, the state police. But my point is, you're now the sheriff. You've
right.
done this for 35 years.
Right.
We have to recognize.
You have to recognize people your people. They need a pin on their chest at the very least. They need to have the know it's coming from the heart, from the sheriff in the county. And absolutely, they need to be recognized for this service above and beyond.
But, you know, it also sends a message to bad guys, too.
Right.
That this is not the county that you want to bring that junk into. And if you wave a gun and shoot at a cop, you're done.
You're done.
You're
and
not
we
gonna...
had, and there was another incident recently where a couple of our guys were over in the town of Clarendon. And they came very close. They came very close. And that recognition needs to be done. There needs to be recognition of performance above and beyond. Listen, our people do good work every single day. All of our people do.
I'm not taking
But this is above
away.
And beyond. When you're that close to death and you survive and you take care of people and you protect the public, that needs to be recognized. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, again, we have way too many stories of you know, cops that act first or get spooked.
Well, look at the funerals. Look at the funerals across
the thing.
Nation.
This is not even in the same stratosphere of that. We're talking about cops
Absolutely.
That are being engaged, that are firing back. These are heroic acts. These are keeping us safe. And they really.
I always find it interesting when people say, "Oh, you work in Orleans County. Not much goes on out there." And I'm saying in the back of my mind, "I got a story for you, but I'm not going to tell you."
Well,
you know
maybe
I mean?
We need. And you know what? A part of that, not only should they be given an award, I think they should also be able to be given to the media to do a curtain call. I think that part of that is public relations.
Some of that you got to deal with. Jimmy's a pretty private guy. He kind of wanted to stay out of the limelight, but he was recognized by, the maker of the bulletproof vest and the New York State Sheriff's Association. But in-house, we need to do better than that.
You should be recognized by Hanes Underwear, because that is one
Absolutely.
Of the that's a pretty testosterone guy. That guy has got
he took two in the center mass and
no,
then
he
put
is
the guy
an
down with
stud.
An AR-15.
It's one of the guys. I really would like one day to just sit down and tell him what I feel, because I just think he's just an absolute. That's one of the most incredible stories. We're talking center. It didn't happen in the back. It didn't happen while he wasn't looking. He knew exactly what was going down. He ran towards the threat and he put the threat down. And that's just incredible. Chris Bork, Under Sheriff of Orleans County. One more thing to add in the last, you've got the last 15 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, I just appreciate everybody's support and my experience and my dedication to Orleans County. I'm an Orleans County guy. I'm not a fancy guy from a big county. I do appreciate everybody's support. And if we're going to have a few events coming up, like the June Fest next Saturday, if you want to come out and meet me and talk, or I'll come to you, whatever it takes. But I think my training and background, I think, and my ability to bring people together and work with other agencies, that's my goal. And hopefully I'm successful.
Well,
June
25th is the primary. Thank you so much
for having me.
We appreciate that. Now, we've had both candidates from Orleans County. June 25th, you make your decision. We're going to go to news, and then we'll be back with more. It's Hardline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.